Welcome to the Easy Street Speakers Podcast. I'm your host, Gamal Alexander. Hello once again and welcome to the Easy Street Speakers Podcast. This is the podcast where we give tips and insights on how you can effectively, authentically share your story. You already know who I am, Gamal Alexander. And as always, I've got something that I am absolutely excited to share with you. But before I do any of that, you know I have to ask you to please subscribe to the podcast, share it with somebody. There's somebody else that needs to hear what we have to offer each and every week. And you know exactly who that is. So please, please, please share it with them. Not only do we want you to share and subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, but also I want to hear from you. So you have my email, and if you don't, here it is, sayitbetternow@gmail.com. Also, find me on Facebook. I've got not only a Facebook page that's wide open, but I also have a Facebook insiders group specifically for communicators, people who are learning, developing, improving on their craft. If you want to improve any aspect of your storytelling and or speaking, then go to www.facebook.com/easyinsider, and I would be more than happy to accept you into our community. We are a growing community of people from all walks of life who are learning how to more effectively tell our stories, and there's plenty of room for you. Also, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me by my name, Gamal T. Alexander. And please follow me because I offer content there as well as on my website, www.gamalalexander.com. You can go there if you ever want to know more about who I am or what I'm doing. It's all there. Now, each week, as those of you who have been listening already know, I share aspects of my journey of growth and development. Four in particular that I share with you each week. The first is what I'm reading. The second is what I'm doing. The third is what I like. And then, of course, the fourth is what I want to talk about. So, that being said, what am I reading this week? This week, I am reading a book that if I could give it to every one of you, I would. I don't even want you to pay for this. I want to make sure that you have it because I'm not in a position to do that. Maybe one day I will be, but because I'm not able to do it right now, the least I can do is tell you about it. It's entitled 48 Days to the Work You Love by Dan Miller. Let me repeat it. 48 Days to the Work You Love by Dan Miller. Now, I'm just now discovering this incredible, incredible book. So if it's old news to you, then shame on you because you should have shared it with me. But if you're just now hearing about this, let me tell you, if you have any level of dissatisfaction or discomfort with your employment, this is the book for you. If you're wondering at all about your calling, this is the book for you. If you're wondering whether or not you should pursue your passions, follow your dreams, this is the book for you. If you're wondering if it's even practical for you to pursue your passions, is it possible for you to monetize the gifts and talents that you have within you? This is the book for you. Dan Miller also has a website. He's got a podcast. I love them all. You will too. It's a must read. It's a must read for anybody that's serious about living their best life. I highly recommend it to you. So that's what I'm reading. What am I doing? Well, I'm preparing to go live. That's right. Naila Harvey and I, this Thursday on Facebook, this Thursday, June 13th, we're going live. We're going to have about a 30-minute conversation, and we're going to be talking about how to turn your ideas into a book or signature talk. I'm going to be talking about how to make your signature talk stand out. She's going to be talking about how to make your book idea stand out. If you are an entrepreneur, if you are an author, if you are a life coach, or if you've ever thought about being any of those things, you need to join us on Facebook this Thursday. Now, I haven't nailed down the time just yet. We're looking at about 7:45, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But follow me on Facebook, or you can follow her on Facebook. Look Better in Writing is her handle. A brilliant, brilliant young lady. And we'll make sure that you have all the information you need to join us. So what do I like? What do I like this week? Well, for those of you who have been listening, you know that I'm really into podcasts. Hopefully I'm into podcasts. I'm doing one, right? But this podcast in particular, because I've had an opportunity to work with the host, and I've had an opportunity to learn from the host, this podcast is special to me. And so I want to recommend the Talk to Amber podcast. I love it. The host is Amber Wright, and she's an incredible communicator. She's also an incredible coach. And if you need coaching in the area of communication, I highly recommend her. I do coaching as well. I do coaching with her. I've done coaching with her in the past. And there's a lot of what she's taught me that I incorporate into my own practices, as well as try to pass along to others. Listen to her podcast if you have any interest at all in communication. She will be a benefit to you. So that's what I'm reading, that's what I'm doing, that's what I like. Now I want to get into what I'm talking about. What am I talking about this week? Well, it's not so much what I'm talking about as it is who I'm talking to. I had the pleasure and privilege of talking to the one and only speaker's mechanic, Jason Hall. Jason's a good friend of mine. We actually went to undergrad together, Oakwood University. And he's done very well for himself. I particularly admire the fact that he is following his dream. He is a speech pathologist that is focusing on improving the confidence and clarity of communicators everywhere. I love that. What he does, and you'll hear more about that from him, but what he does is he helps to remove some of the barriers and excuses that speakers often use to prevent them from getting started. I've heard it all. You've heard it all. Some of the excuses we even use: I have an accent. I stutter. I'm not very clear. I don't think clearly. I don't think well on my feet. I'm not very fluid. None of those excuses have to be barriers to entry. None of those things have to stop you. There are people like Jason out there who can help to remove those negatives and turn them into positives without stripping you of who you are. You can effectively, authentically share your story. And Jason shows you exactly how to do that. So I'm excited to introduce my audience to Jason. I was excited to talk to Jason. And I believe that you're going to be tremendously benefited, tremendously blessed by what he has to share. You can follow him on Instagram. You can follow him on Facebook. He has some resources that are on the way. As we speak, he's working on a free ebook, and I can't wait for it to come out. I'm going to be one of the first to download it, to tell you the truth, and I think you need it too. So without any further delay, ladies and gentlemen, here is Jason Hall.
I'm here with Jason Hall, the speaker's mechanic. Jason, welcome to the Easy Street Speakers Podcast.
Appreciate it, Gamal. Good to be here, bro.
All right. Well, I've gotten to know a little bit about who you are and what you do. However, I want my listening audience to have that benefit, but I don't want to do it in a traditional way. We're communicators, okay. And as such, I value, I love creative communication. So we're going to do a little bit of that for the next few moments. We're going to start. We're going to start with this.
Okay.
Give me three words that describe who you are.
Three words.
Three words that describe who you are.
Passionate.
All right.
An empath.
Aha.
We might have to break that down a little bit.
Might have to go into that one.
And I'm a communicator. Like, I know we kind of opened up with that, but communicator.
Mm-hmm. Passionate. An empath and a communicator. Now, why did you choose the word empath? The last time I heard that word, it was on Star Trek, and it was being used to describe Deanna Troi.
Break that down because I'm not a Trekkie.
I'm gonna have to tell you a little bit more about that after the show. all my Trekkies. Cool. Deanna Troi is an empath, and Jason Hall's an empath. But since we're not on the Enterprise, I want to find
exactly
why you chose that word. So why an empath?
I chose an empath because it's something I'm definitely learning later in my life to understand kind of what makes a person an empath. Okay. Some people out there might quickly trigger and say, you know what? Oh, I know exactly what that is. Mm-hmm. But for those who don't know, it's someone who is very mindful of being empathetic to me.
Okay.
That's not the dictionary according to Webster. That's kind of the dictionary according to Jason Hall. I think to grow into the knowledge of becoming empathetic is a skill. It's a skill. It's something to learn, to become aware of, to actually practice, if you will, because honestly, to the core of who we are, we're selfish human beings.
Yes.
And I can go on and on about that, but I think that's my best way to kind of describe that to you. I'm practicing daily to be empathetic.
Awesome, and. Mm-hmm. I can see your desire to help and add value to other people's lives all throughout what you do. And speaking of what you do, being communicators again,
right.
I preach, I teach this principle. If you can't describe it, whatever it is, in one sentence, you're not comfortable with it. You don't know it well enough. So when it comes to what to do, I've got an idea in rattling around in my head, but in one sentence, describe
Something
what
happened. We got a glitch.
We got a glitch.
I'm not sure if it's my side.
We
were doing great.
I'm hearing you just fine. Can you still hear me?
Now I can. I can't see you, but I can. Okay.
So in one sentence, describe what you do.
I help speakers with vocal and expressive communication difficulties, challenges, injuries to heal, to get well, to convey a message to their audience in a more effective way.
All right. You have speakers with vocal challenges convey their message to the audience more effectively.
Right. But not just vocal challenges. I think vocal challenges is definitely a part of it. Mm-hmm. But also just to help individuals communicate, because as a, I call myself a speaker's mechanic, at the core of who I am a speech language pathologist.
All right.
And we also break down the mode of communication, which is our words, primarily speaking, to its fundamental component, to the basic articulation, phonemic cues that we get from words, sounds, and so on. So it is definitely dealing with the ability to express verbally the words that we're saying in a more clear way. But that's also in conjunction with individuals who are also having vocal deficits and vocal injury or just problems. I think that's the best word.
Okay. So now that sounds technical.
It can get a lot more technical. I was trying to find words.
I can imagine. So now, what sparked the passion within you to pursue that? What got you started?
Oh, that's a kind of a double-edged sword. I am a speech language pathologist, and under the umbrella, Gamal, of speech language pathology, there are many different facets of who I am as a professional. And although I talk to you specifically about vocal injuries or vocal problems, and also the ability to articulate and communicate your words properly, there's also facets of what we do that deals with cognition and that deals with memory and processing. Also parts of what I do as a therapist deals with swallowing due to different types of things. If an individual had a stroke or something like that, you know, I deal with that. But the passion to do this right here has been a burning desire that has been within me since I started in the field. Primarily, historically, I have found myself in a setting that deals more in a general basis. So I would treat anybody from a swallowing, you know, to memory, to voice. But right now, I am definitely honing in and focusing primarily on two different areas in the vein of communication, articulation, conveying the message, and vocal injuries or vocal problems.
So now, here's where we've come full circle, we bring it home. Because if I'm a speaker listening to this in my car, I'm listening to this in the comfort of my home, and I'm wondering, what in the world does any of this have to do with me? Then what do you have to say to me? In other words, if there's something about your profession that if I understand it, it will change my career and my life for the better, what would that thing be?
If you are in the audience and you're hearing me speak, it is my job to serve you in the capacity that if you are having trouble, say you are a pastor or you are a teacher or you are a vocal user who uses your voice as primarily your livelihood, and you're having difficulty with, say, your voice, and you're having constant or chronic vocal pain or soreness or hoarseness, or your voice is going in and out, or you've just lost it, maybe due to maybe due to a cold or a flu, or just because of weather changes, or just because you're just feeling some tension and you're unaware of it, and you're able to perform at your job or your career in an effective way, you would come see me. Now, I'll tell you this, as a speech therapist or as a speaker's mechanic, working on your voice and working on your ability to communicate, but primarily your voice, is something that we take as therapists, you know, very seriously. If you're having some type of vocal injury that is lasting longer than 2 weeks, I'm going to send you, because it's only ethically done to do it in this fashion, is to send you to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, because you could have something structurally wrong going on inside that I can't not see. Now, the ENT, they're diagnosers, and then they send you back to me that we work on some physiological things that can help you create an environment in your throat and your ability to communicate in a lot more effective way.
This is good, because there are so many professions, not just keynote speakers, not just conference speakers, but there's so many professions that rely primarily on their voice. Right. Teachers, coaches, ministers, as you mentioned, and then of
CEOs,
course, CEOs. There are all sorts of professions across the board who not only rely on their voice, but they also make a habit of abusing their voice. And that abuse can take its toll over the years. And if you are making money based off of what you say and you can't speak anymore, then your stream of income is just dried up. And right. That can be disastrous for somebody who considers themselves a speaker. However, injury isn't the only thing you deal with, as I understand it. There are those who also may have thick accents that may sound beautiful and add character to your presentation, but it also make you a little more difficult to comprehend, and thus a little less marketable. And if I am a speaker that's interested in transcending boundaries and making myself more marketable, and I need some work with accent reduction, can I also come to you?
Definitely. I definitely speak to the fact, to the communicator who's having a huge challenge for their audience, for their listener. If you're a doctor, or if you're a CEO, or you're a manager, and you're having the people who are under you, or to the ones who listen to you the most, are having a challenge of really comprehending what you're saying, whether it's accent or whether it's dialect. We call it accent or dialect modification.
All right.
The true thing about us as a speech or speaker's mechanic is we want the communicator to have the onus and the responsibility of conveying the message. Like they're the responsible party of conveying your message in a way that the listener can receive it. So if there are some tweaks, if there are some modifications we can do with certain words and certain sounds and how they're pronounced, that they can be more understood. It's never my job to really take the character, which is their heritage or their background of where they came from, and make them fit into a box of you have to speak so American to be accepted, because you're stripping that person of who they are. And I, quite frankly, if someone can ever promise that to to someone to say that, hey, I can take away your accent, you probably need to be a little bit more leery of that person, because you're stripping a piece of who they are. But making sure that they're more understandable, we as therapists call that intelligible to the listener. Intelligibility has nothing to do with IQ. It has everything to do with understandability. Mm. And if one could be understood better with their accent and kind of tweaked and modified to have the sounds come out more clear in a more clear fashion with different cadence and rate of speed and how they talk all come together, that is that their communication is effective, it's clear, it's precise. Those are things that I'm definitely really keen in on making better. I want to say this one piece too. There is something in our community, as far as an African American community, we have a certain dialect, if you will. Mm-hmm. We call it, back in the day, it used to be called Ebonics, which is kind of a derogatory terminology. You know, you speak down, you're speaking Ebonics as if it doesn't count. It's actually not really called Ebonics, it's called African American English. That is something that we are, as African Americans, we definitely talk very comfortable in our home environment, and it's kind of a culturalistic talk. And it is something, as we grow up in education, through high school and through college, we begin to have a different form of speaking, because we're interacting, we're more, we're getting in touch with different cultures, or maybe if you want to call it mainstream society, and our speech starts to get a little bit more, if you will, I have to be careful with my words, because I don't want to make it sound as if one is worse than the other, because it's definitely not. One is just more cultural, if you will, and one is kind of more standard. That's the word I want to use. And to go between both environments, your home environment and maybe a more mainstream environment, it's something we call as code switch. And that's something that I would love to continue to work on and teach in individuals who are coming from a cultural environment. All of a sudden they find themselves thrust into maybe a professional environment where they have good content to communicate, but their ability to communicate things well is a challenge for them, i.e. basketball players or football players who have a camera and a microphone thrust in front of them, and all of a sudden they're you know, kind of like a deer in the headlights, because now they have to bring what they historically know as cultural and comfortable. Now they have the bright lights in front of them, and then it's like go time. It's time to perform. I help shape someone's language and speech to where it's more polished. Dude, that stuff makes my heart churn.
I love it. I love the fact that you are helping individuals develop confidence and become comfortable with their unique personalities. Because as communicators, your unique personality, your perspective, your story is going to be your primary offensive weapon, if you would. It's going to be the thing you bring to the table that sets you apart as a speaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The tool of language being standard is fine, but your unique flavoring, your unique offering is what's going to attract anyone to come to you, to listen to you, to give you their time and their attention versus someone else. And I'm amazed at the fact that you are, and impressed by the fact that you're dedicating your life to not erasing individuality, but able to embrace their individuality. There may be barriers that make you less confident as a speaker, and make you can, if removed, can make you more understandable as a speaker. But once we remove those, we're not trying to change you, because who you are with your English accent, with your Jamaican accent, with your Trinidadian accent, with your Black American accent, with your with your Latino accent.
Right, exactly.
Who
Asian, it can go on, right.
Makes you special. And that gives you your vibe. And you know, as I've heard it said before, your vibe attracts your tribe. So no need who you are, because we want to keep your individual vibe. Your vibe attracts your tribe. There's somebody out there that will listen to you because you are you.
Wow.
Listen to you because you are you. And it sounds like what you're doing is helping me be the best me that I can be.
There you go. Right there. I love it. Because we're unique. And it, I think it's to embrace our uniqueness. That kind of levels up who we are as a person, which gives the vibe of, okay, let me see what this person has to say. Makes a person more attractive. When a person truly understands themselves and is comfortable with themselves and strips themselves of insecurity because of the barriers that we talked about, it just helps the individual to be or to give or to serve or to do those things that they're so gifted to do without going through the minutia of what some people would call barriers, I guess.
Ah, we're on the same page, because in this profession, there are so many excuses not to. There are so many things that drain and strip and rob a person of their confidence.
Right.
When in fact, a lot of those things are fixable. Uh-huh. And so, if you're thinking that you can't speak because of an accent, don't.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that to yourself. Don't rob yourself of the opportunity. If you're thinking that you can't speak because of an injury, we're here to say that's not an excuse either.
We can fix that.
We can fix that. We can fix that. Can be fixed. If your voice is a problem, if your vocal cords become a problem, those can be fixed. There's nothing that needs to stop you from effectively, authentically sharing your story.
Amen.
Nothing at all.
You done said it. Very good.
So now I've been speaking for about 20 years, and there's so much of this that I had to learn through trial and error.
Okay.
I'm still building confidence 20 years later.
Okay.
If you could go back in time,
okay,
and meet me 20 years ago with the knowledge you have now, what advice would you have given me back then that you believe could help me as a speaker?
Cool, cool. Great question. Besides investing in Apple, I would tell you, I would tell, definitely.
I would have taken you up on that one. I mean.
But Gamal, specifically speaking to an individual like yourself, who's in the speaking arena, and that arena is broad, as you well know, but one who aspires to make a career out of speaking and conveying their story to the listener, there's a lot of advice, but I want to try and give some priority advice. Do it often. Do it often. Because it's like getting your reps in. I mean, I know you exercise, you like to take care of your body like myself. The more often you're doing it, the more comfortable you'll become. But that's not the only thing. That's just like, of course, a portion of it. As you're doing it, you need to do some type of feedback loop so you can kind of inspect yourself to see where you are in the process. Because if you're just doing a push-up wrong for the rest of your life, you're going to develop some improper strategies. You're going to develop some improper, your muscles might develop wrong. Things might start. So you need to do some self-analysis, some consistent self-analysis as to how you're doing it. Whether you do it yourself, it would probably be better to get someone to a professional or a friend who knows a lot about speaking to actually say, okay, I want to get better. Help me get better. Maybe get a mentor or something or someone like that who is not just someone who kind of knows about speaking, but someone who is very high in the game of what where you want to be, someone who you idolize or is in that same lane, if you will, that does really good in the realm of public speaking. Thirdly, know that speaking is, like you said, it's a journey. You're going to be, and you should be, a constant consumer of information that hones your craft every single day, every single month, every single year. When you think that you have mastered and you are at the top of your game, it's almost like Socrates, like you know so much, and if you, at the end of the day, you just got to realize, I don't know anything.
I don't know.
Let me say it like I want to. I don't know nothing about what I thought I know. So it's just, it's that mindset and it's that heart that will always keep you fresh. It will always keep you searching. It will always keep you getting better, most importantly, about what you do. So those three things: do it often, find a mentor in the lane that you want to go in, and have helping, ask them to help you critique yourself and get better. And also be a consistent learner. Read books, go do conferences, get yourself around speakers who speak well, not just speakers who kind of speak, but find yourself around people who are doing really well at what you want to do.
It almost sounds like there's a certain level of security with yourself that you have to have along this journey.
Right.
Because if you're sensitive to criticism,
right,
you'll never improve. If you never improve, you're not going to last. If you can't bring yourself to learn from someone else or to learn something else, you'll never improve. And if you never improve, you're not going to last. Watch yourself, critique yourself. I was one of those, and I had to get over it. I couldn't watch myself on video. Couldn't listen to the sound of my own voice. Just didn't like it. But I realized if I was sensitive in that area and I wasn't able to get over myself, sit down, honestly critique myself, and look toward improving, then once again, I'll never get better. There has to be a certain level of security that reinforces the idea that my presentation may have flaws, but it doesn't mean that I'm a failure person.
True. Can I say this as you say that? I am a speech language pathologist, aka the speaker's mechanic. However, it's to know that my speech does not come out of my mouth always perfectly. And sometimes I dive in and out of my cultural or dialectal speech, but the point is I am comfortable. I am knowledgeable. I am aware of the words that are coming out of my mouth, even if it's not coming out properly. It's a practice. But you need to become aware, like you're saying, so that you can become better, that you can be more polished. Let me add one more thing. You asked an advice. This is kind of in the adjacent vein to the three things I gave you. Find a team. Find a team so that you can grow and get better and become a when I say a team, in the lane of business. If you want to be a speaker that's kind of going to, you're becoming your own business. And if you want to grow and do well, you want to have people that are on your team, if you will, that are building you up, that are putting you in the right places, that are being the eyes and ears that you can't be, because you only have one set of eyes and one set of ears, and you need other individuals around you that are knowledgeable of whether it's finances or whether it's booking or whether it's getting yourself in a space of maybe pushing to the people who you're serving your books and websites and just things of that nature that you just can't all do by yourself.
Absolutely. So
find a team.
You got a lot of good stuff to say. And I want to hear more about it. I want to hear more from you. So tell me, first of all, do you have any projects that you're working on? Do you have anything out there that I can get my hands on, that my listeners can get their hands on, if they want to hear more from Jason Hall?
Okay, first off, you can go on I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Jason Hall Consults. Very easy. Just go to LinkedIn and look up Jason Hall Consults. You can find me and get in touch with me there. IG, my handle is at Jason Hall Speaks. You can find me. I'm doing daily IG stories, at least throughout the week, trying to give good education and good information about what speech therapists do and how we do it. I'm also and I have a website out, and it's called Jason Hall Consults.net, and you can find me there. You can get in touch with me there. You can email me and reach out to me in that form. Some of the projects that I'm working on, I'm really working on currently building up my social media presence, and so I'm excited about that.
As am I. And it's a new language for me, as it probably is for you.
Definitely. But it's fun, though. It's fun.
Social media, a young man's game. But you're right. It is a lot of fun once you get the hang of it. Hopefully, my two daughters will give me some tutoring next time. Next time they're with daddy. But you seem to be getting the hang of it, because I actually follow you and I watch those stories. I'm benefiting. I'm learning about the mechanics of speech as well. And if you're out there and you have access, I highly recommend follow Jason. Make use of the stuff that he's giving, because it can definitely improve your speaking career. Definitely. Anything else you're working on?
Well, I'm currently working on trying to get out something real soon about vocal hygiene. There are people who will be listening to this, and whether in the singing space or in the speaking space or even in the rapping space. Hey, come on. Individuals who use their voice in a heavy manner. Coaches, preachers, and you find yourself hoarse, and you find yourself having these consistent pains, if you will, and not pains necessarily when it comes to hurt, but pains as far as your ability to always vocalize in the way that you know you should. I'm trying to get out a pamphlet or a flyer or something that's digitally, something that I can digitally just get out into the masses, where it's easily downloaded for free, and they might get what I call vocal hygiene tips to stay healthy and to use their voice properly, talking about diet, talking about different warm-ups you can do to kind of stay healthy and to kind of keep your vocal instrument at its top peak performer before you would ever have to see me. But I do want you to see me if you need me or reach out to me. I am definitely looking forward to meeting and people, whether it's in person or whether I have to jump on a Zoom call and we can do a consultation about how I can help out in that matter. But I'm really excited about what's in the future. So yeah, those things.
I'm excited as well, folks. We are trying to add value to your life. If you are a speaker, If you are a performer, we want to help. We want to help. Our first priority is not to sell you anything. Our first priority is to simply give you as much information as possible that we believe is going to help to improve your career and add value to your life. We're coming down to the end, but before we go, I want to do something with you. I want to ask you five questions. And I want the first answers that come to your head, all right? So it's going to be rapid fire, kind of off topic. We don't have anything to do with speaking, but because I have you here and because we're getting to know not just Jason Hall, the speaker's mechanic, but also Jason Hall, the person, We're gonna fire these at you. If you're ready for them, here we go.
I'm ready. I hope I don't disappoint. I'll go for it.
All right. First question. If I gave you $20 right now, what would you buy?
Chips Ahoy, soft batch cookies, and a couple cases of Waterloo sparkling water, which I love.
Waterloo sparkling water. Okay.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. Fresh, bubbly. It's nothing like bubbly cold water. It's just beautiful.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Waterloo just got free advertisement. So
They sure did. Reach out to us.
Sparkling water, and you're hearing this, you got to reach out to us. We believe in your product.
Yes, man. We do.
You up.
Yes.
All right, second, what's the last book you read?
Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. I'm giving out all kind of plugs. Yo, Brené Brown, if you guys don't know, if you're listening to this podcast.
Awesome.
Yes, Kamal's podcast. If you're listening, get her books. I just finished reading. I do an audio book, Dare to Lead. And I promise you, I've been going over reading that probably at least 2 to 3 times now, just because it's so rich with content. Mm-hmm. Talk about she's a communicator, and her book is about communicating. So she's talking about Dare to Lead. It's basically, you know, just trying to get into the mix of trying to help lead individuals, and that comes through communication. So beautiful, beautiful lady, beautiful book.
All right, we're gonna switch gears. If you look at your phone right now, who do you text the most?
Ooh.
Without getting in trouble.
No, you're good. Tim Golden. I text Tim Golden a lot. If you guys don't know who Tim Golden is, he's a professor at Walla Walla University out in Washington State, and he's a professor of philosophy. He's also a speaker who goes around the country nationally giving talks on emotional health for men, giving talks. He has a TED Talk, actually. On emotional health for men, and he's done. He's an actor. He does all things with Tim Golden. That's my boy. I like him. Check him out.
As a matter of fact, I'm gonna ask for an introduction as well, because I want to meet. I'm gonna download his TED Talk. I want to meet him as well. Tim Golden.
Cool.
So, what's one talent you wish you had?
You spoke about it earlier. Off the air, but you stole mine, but I'm taking it, but trying to take up the mantle, because I'm not sure if your audience knows that you, like me, I desire to be a singer. Now, I'll tell you this. I've been a choir boy, and I can hold a note.
Why?
I can hold a note with people, but I'm not that dude who ventures out solo and wants to be like Michael Jackson or Beyonce. I'm not stepping out of the pack. I know my place, so.
Folks, you are listening to two speakers, not singers. Okay?
Exactly.
We do not sing. I learned that lesson the hard way a long time ago. I can hold a note. I've had the privilege, opportunity to sing with choirs before, but unless there's at least 25 people around me, you really don't want to hear me sing.
Yo, Kamal, didn't you and I sang in the same choir, though, didn't we?
I think we did.
Was it Voices?
Same boat. Back at Oakland. Two choir members who can't really sing.
And we did not do solos, and they never asked.
We didn't do solos for a reason. Right. There was a reason. Last question. I know we consider ourselves blessed. Indeed, we are. If you had to name it, what's the one thing you're most grateful for?
That's so hard. I got to give you two. I wake up in the morning with a practice. And it's kind of a new practice. And I'm glad you said grateful, not just thankful, because being grateful to me is on another level. It's another rung up than just being thankful.
I believe it.
And I am a man of faith. And I wake up each morning and I say this. I say I am, and these are 1A and 1A. I'm thankful to God for his love and him sending his son to die for me, number one. Yes. And that's, and two is for my children.
Yeah.
Most grateful. After those two, I'm grateful for health and having ability to do what we're doing today. But that's my trifecta, baby. Grateful. It's humbling. It's humbling just to think about it.
It is incredibly humbling. And come to think of it, those are things for which I am grateful as well. I'm grateful to you for stopping by, for sharing some of your expertise, for giving us your time. I believe that this is going to help somebody. I know it's already helping me. I can't wait for the next IG story. I can't wait for the next project. I can't wait for the ebook. I'm going to be looking out. If you're listening, I want you to be looking out. And on behalf of the listeners and myself, Jason, thank you for being with us today.
Kamal, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me. It's been my pleasure, bro.
We appreciate you. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Once again, special thanks to Jason Hall for that phenomenal interview. I really appreciate you, and I can't wait to work with you again in the future. Also, thank you for listening. If you are listening to this podcast right now, I appreciate you, and I want you to leave a review. Hit me up on sayitbetternow@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought about the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, and please share it with somebody else. Listen, I want each and every one of you to share your superpower with the world. I think you're amazing. I think that the world needs to know who you are and what's on your mind, and I just want to help you do that. That may sound hard, but it's not hard. As a matter of fact, it's easy. Having said that, I want to say goodbye. Goodbye for now, and I will see you next time on Easy Street. Thank you for listening to the Easy Street Speakers Podcast. For more information, visit www.gamalalexander.com.